Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Human beings are remarkable among animals for having an extremely long period of childhood. It's not only that human infants are born unable to walk or to communicate or to feed themselves or clean themselves, unlike so many mammals that spring up immediately onto four legs, however wobbly. It's that human children spend years, decades even, in a completely unproductive state, growing and learning and exploring their surroundings before any of us can sustain life for ourselves. I was listening to an interview actually just this morning with a researcher named Allison Gopnik. If you've never heard of her, she's a wonderful author and communicator. She's a psychologist and a philosopher at UC Berkeley, where she leads a child development lab. And her work ranges from child psychology to parenting to artificial intelligence, where she works with computer scientists. She points out that childhood is a fantastic example of what we call the trade-off between exploration and exploitation. In other words, the longer the childhood, the larger the base that can be built, the larger the knowledge and understanding that can grow, that can be then exploited in adulthood. This is how machine learning works. The more you train the artificial intelligence, the more effectively it can exploit that knowledge. Children's role is not to work or to produce or to achieve anything. It's to play and to grow and to learn. And that play and growth and learning involves more than a little failure, more than a few spilled spoonfuls of mac and cheese that they want to serve themselves, more than a couple of bruised foreheads and scraped knees. But at the same time, the longer that period of play and imagination, the more the tolerance for those mistakes and failures, the longer that period of uniquely childlike wonder and awe, the more resilient and adaptable and skillful the adult becomes. See what kind of love the Father has given us, John writes, that we may be called children of God. People sometimes throw this phrase around, children of God, if they're trying to talk about humans in general in an extra spiritual way, or trying to make a kind of ethical point that every person is a child of God and should be treated with dignity. And this is true, but there's a lot more going on in that phrase, children of God. For one thing, it's not vague or generically spiritual at all. When the first letter of John says that we're God's children, it doesn't mean that we're children of divinity, a universal life force, but an impersonal one. Our God is a specific God, a personal God. Our God is, as Peter puts it in our reading from Acts, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God who walked among us in the person of Jesus, the God who suffered and died and rose again and ate a piece of broiled fish, not baked or poached or stewed. Our God is a God of details, and our God is a God of relationship. We are not the children of divinity any more than any of our children are the children of parenthood. We are God's children now. Not an abstract being, but a specific and personal God, one in whom we're always in relationship, even if that relationship is one where we're ignoring God or running away. More than that, though, when we say that we're children of God, we aren't simply saying that God loves us, which God does, or that God cares for us, which God does. We're saying that we are children, incomplete, immature, not yet grown into the full stature of the human beings we're going to become. In some sense, we are not just childlike, but childish, however old and wise we may be. But at the same time, we're saying that God sees us as children, that God expects us to be imperfect, incomplete, and loves us all the same. In fact, God's parental love being even more perfect than ours, we can say that God sees us and relates to us as we would aspire to relate to children at our best. Sometimes exasperated, sometimes confused, but always patient and loving, delighting in our constant growth and change. So we are God's children now, imperfect and immature as we may be. But what will we be when we grow up? The question every child loves to ask. What we will be, says John, has not yet been revealed. I love the dynamic in this verse between the present and the future. We are already now God's spiritual children. What we will be has not yet been revealed. We are already now God's children, but we're not yet grown into our full stature. We are already now loved by God, and we may ourselves love God deeply, but not as equals. We are already now beautiful, but our beauty is sometimes the beauty of a child, which is to say the beauty of a mess, which is to say the beauty of a pound of glitter dumped on the floor or maybe on a sibling's bed in all its irritating iridescence. And the most beautiful part of this, I think the grace in this, is that it's as true for the wisest and the most mature of us as it is for the youngest. Scholars will debate who the author is of the letters of John, the first, second, and third, whether it's the same John as the John of the Gospel, whether it's the same John the Apostle, whether it's the same John of the Revelation to John. The author of the second and third letters identifies themselves simply as the elder, and whether the first letter of John is written by the same elder or not, we can imagine that it's written by an elder, a spiritually mature leader of the church, someone who's advanced in faith, a pillar of the community. And when he writes to us, to all of us who read this letter, not just the ancient audience of the church, but us now, when he writes to us, he writes, "Beloved, we are God's children now. Not you, but we, apostles and elders and new converts and newborns alike, are children of God." After all, beside the wisdom of God and the great love of God, our wisdom just looks small, no matter how wise we may be. The wisest among us are like proud toddlers rocking their newborn sibling for the first time, while the parents stand feet away in anxiety. This wise elder John knows that in God's eyes, he too is a child. We are all children. And what a relief, at least for me. Even the most patient parents are just children learning to take care of a child for the first time. Even the wisest elders are just children learning to grow old for the first time. Even the most faithful spouses and friends are just children learning to love one another for the first time. What a gift to know that God sees us as we are, as God's children, and loves us and knows us as children, as people who are learning and growing, incomplete, no matter what our age. That all of our successes and all of our failures alike are like child's play before the God who sees and knows all things. Of course, we could just rest there and say, we're children, so it doesn't matter, but we know that the things that we do do matter. Because like all children, we are growing up. We may dream one day of growing up to be firefighters like Everett or pirates like Peg Leg Greg, which was my authentic pirate party nickname. But of course, what we will be has not yet been revealed. To be fair, it may be a firefighter for some of us. We live our lives traveling one day at a time into this unknown future. A future in which what we will be has not yet been revealed, but what we are is God's children. And there are really two kinds of future here. One is our immediate lives' futures. We do not know where the next weeks or months or years will take us, whatever plans we may have for them. And the other is God's future, that future at the end of time, that final recreation of all things that God promises to us. The new heavens and the new earth that God promises to establish. It has not yet been revealed to us what our ultimate reality there will be, what we will be when God makes all things new, except that it has been revealed in part, because we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. We will be like Christ, and we have seen him as he is. We have seen his compassion, his humility, his faithful, patient love. And these are the things that we're growing into. This is the shape our life is built for. This is our future. This is the firefighter's uniform we yearn one day to don. So we are God's children now, and we're growing up into the full stature of the love of God in Christ. But how do we get there? What do we need along the way? What's, as Murray's preschool teacher says, the growing food that helps us become the big and strong versions of ourselves? I think that there are two things that help us grow into that Christ-shaped love. To play and to pray. To play is to be like children, to be like the children we are, to indulge our imaginations with the kind of openness, the kind of wonder and awe that characterizes a child's mind. It's to look at our own patterns of behavior and our own structures in society and our families, to look at our church and to imagine and to wonder and to ask that childlike question, why though? Why are things the way that they are? Why am I the way that I am? We adults play, of course, in different ways from the ways that children play, but we imagine other worlds nevertheless. We read fiction and history, and we wonder what life was like in another time or in an imaginary place and how our world might be more like it. We march and protest and imagine a world that's different from our own. Perhaps most importantly, though, we do play. We sit on the floor or we log on to a family Zoom meeting, and we let our children teach us what it is to be human and what it is to be God's children now. To play, after all, is nothing more than to put down ourselves, our seriousness, our absorption in our own sets of values and ideas, and to imagine a world that's different from our own. And the world that God is slowly bringing about is different enough from our own that that open-mindedness and awe is exactly what we need. So that's what it is to play. But to pray, I think, is to ultimately live out that final phrase, we will see him as he is. To pray is to see Christ as he is, to encounter the living God again and again, in meditation and in worship, in service to the poor and the sick and to children. That shapes us and changes us. There's a metaphor that I love that was common among ancient Christian authors. It's as though they say God is a fire and we're the iron pokers next to it. If we're just sitting by the fireside, detached from God, we don't have much to do with God at all. The fire is hot. We are cold steel. But if we abide in God, as John says, if we are thrust into the fire, we slowly warm over time. We take on some of what it is to be a fire. We become fire, in a sense, or at least fire-like in all the ways that matter. We give off light. We shed warmth. And so it is, they said, with our souls. We become like God because we see God, and that vision of God transforms our very eyes so that we see the world as God does. We turn again and again to God. We turn to God to pray in moments of peace or moments of frustration or grief. And we draw near to God and we become more like God. We turn to God in worship and in song. We rest in God's presence there in that beauty and light. And we become more like God. We seek God in the faces of the least and the lost. We pray that we may find him walking there. And we play and imagine and exult in the joy of being children of God. And slowly, slowly, our cold iron warms up with the love of God. And slowly we grow into that God-like love that has been prepared for us. It's a funny thing, this growing up into God. We don't always know where we're going. We don't always know that it's going on. After all, what it will be has not yet been revealed. We sometimes forget that we're children and think that we're the masters of our own fate, that we bear responsibility, fully grown, fully formed, for all of our successes and all of our failures alike. But every one of us is still a child of God. Every one of us is still somewhere on that long journey of transformation. And every one of us is guided by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we grow up slowly into our true selves, which is to say, the versions of ourselves that are shaped the most like Christ. For, beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this, that when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Amen.